You know the old adage, rain makes grain, and that's adding to some crop conditions as well. We're going to break that down here this afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Zuzulo is joining us. He is with Global Commodity Analytics. And, you know, Mike, we went for so long without any rain, and it was causing some concerns. Now we're getting some decent rains in many parts of the Midwest. How do you see that playing the role with these crop conditions of late?
Well, I think we've had a second week in a row now, Susan, where the crop conditions have thrown some curveballs at the trade, and they've had to dance around some news and some headlines and some data points they probably weren't expecting. Last week we had that big drop in spring wheat conditions and a 2-point drop in winter wheat conditions. While we didn't make up the big drop in the spring wheat conditions, we did come back up about 5 points to 50%, good to excellent. Winter wheat was able to come back up to 52 and get back to where it was 3 weeks ago. And that was one of the major themes of, I think, the trade and price action when it came to Tuesday and the wheat market not being able to find a lot of new buyers out there and follow through with Monday's rally. And that Monday rally in wheat had some weather and some geopolitics attached to it. It also had a crude oil rally that was attached to it. And while that crude oil rally continued Tuesday with another 1.8% up day as we went into the close, wheat wasn't able to do much with it. I think the other thing, as far as the crop conditions being a major theme, was the corn and bean conditions for good to excellent. While you're right, we've gotten some much better weather at this stage of the game. We also have crop conditions for both 67% good to excellent. That's going to be 3 points lower than the 10-year average for the corn, and about 6 points lower than the 10-year average for the soybeans. So I think this trade is still trying to work through and navigate the new crop prices. And we saw the new crop on both corn and beans find support, find pretty strong price action all through the day, while July corn actually went discount to the December for the first time in many, many months. And I think that you could put at the feet of some of these bigger Brazilian corn numbers that we've been seeing from private trade guesses.
Mike, do you think the markets are just kind of quietly sitting back watching the discussions between China and the U.S., for example, and wondering if any sort of headway is going to be made in the talks?
Yeah, that was the major thing for today, number two, that you just read my mind. I think we have so much information being thrown out right now. Secretary of Treasury, the point man, the point guy, was at a summit in Switzerland, and he talked about China, and he said, quote, they either want to be a reliable partner to the rest of the world or they don't. And I think that took some shine off of the fact that President Trump and President Xi are supposed to be talking later this week. That was confirmed in Tuesday's press conference with the White House press secretary. We don't know the day, but we did see the price action react to it, Susan. And so we are getting more of a reaction in the market. But as you say, it's tepid. While the gold is sharply lower on the day and the dollar is finding a very strong bounce, many of the other commodities and markets just aren't really wanting to participate in too much of a rally. Now, having said that, July beans did take out on Tuesday its highs from Monday and really healed up the chart quite a bit heading into Tuesday's close.
And there's the breakdown in the peace talks between Russia and Ukraine.
Yes, and I think this is the heart and soul along with Iran as to why we had next to no geopolitical premium in the crude oil market, and now we're putting geopolitical premium in, along with the fact that while OPEC is increasing their production, we're seeing the Western Canadian wildfires in Alberta specifically, which is kind of the Houston, Texas of the Canadian oil fields and oil business for that country, really start to limit their production possibilities. And that was definitely talked about in the trade both Monday and Tuesday in New York at the WTI pits, or what used to be the WTI pits.
Well, let's turn to something positive that's happening in the marketplace, and that's the fact that new record highs took place today in the feeder cattle.
Yeah, lead month basis, we were able to get up to and take out that May high, hitting those levels not seen since early weeks of May, getting to that 218 level in cattle, though, and 218.63 high in fat cattle. Not as easy to do. So we did see those new all-time highs in lead month feeders. But notice August feeders now being lead month, we still have to get up to around 307.70 area, Susan, to be able to test that May high in August futures. What we saw late in the week, unfortunately, was a real strong wave of profit taking after those highs were made. There was a little bit of weaker news out of Oklahoma City, but I really would say probably the heart and soul of why we lost so much ground and made new daily lows in the feeders was the impact of the wider trading limits are being felt that the mercantile exchange opened up. In August feeders, for instance, had almost a $5 trading range on the day as we came into the later part of the session.
Well, thanks so much, Mike, for your thoughts on the trade action for this Tuesday. Mike Zuzulo joining us. And always quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's the Tuesday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.